This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Hour 5 of the Nation. Hope you're having a great one. We're just 2 days now from Rangers opening day. We're going to be at Rally House in Arlington tomorrow, celebrating, getting you ready, getting you geared up with Rangers gear, whatever else you might need. So swing on by Rally House tomorrow in Arlington. Going to kick you over to Chief here for a sports hodgepodge in 2 seconds. Falcons owner Arthur Blank today talking about Lamar Jackson. And comparing it to Deshaun Watson from a year ago, if you remember, the Falcons were in big time for Watson. He says the situation with Lamar is very different. He says there's concern with Lamar's playing style and how long it can hold up. And he brought up the games he's missed over the last 2 years. Each game counts in this business as the Lamar Jackson a mystery as far as where he's going to play continues and now begins to drag into the offseason. I don't think they have a chance to get a resolution on this until after the draft and teams are clear on what their quarterback situation is. But, yeah, you know, it's like the Jets trying to trade for Rodgers. If you're trying to trade for a running quarterback who's on the other side of 25, how many great years are you getting out of this? Is it 2, 3? It's not 12 like a pocket quarterback would give you. So, yeah, I'm willing to give up 2 ones and a 4 for a great pocket-only quarterback. I know he's not going to get hurt, and if he does, they'll fix him and he'll be fine. Running quarterback, once he gets hurt, is he going to be as fast? Mm-hmm. This is a very difficult evaluation that's a lot different from the, hey, 2 ones plus for franchise quarterbacks. Here's Chief with the hodgepodge.
I'm with you 100% there. I want to start by just apologizing for denigrating the athletic ability in the previous segment of the Woolly Bully, because there was a time where you're talking about a guy who was, you want a glass eater, okay? You want a fluid hip guy.
What's going on?
You want a knee bender.
No, I wasn't a glass eater. That was the problem with me. I'm
violent
too nice.
Hands, heavy hands. This is Zach Wolchuk. Believe it or not, you get him in space, he had that extra gear.
You get him in space.
There was a lot a lot to be desired about the athletic abilities of the Woolly Bully. He got ahead of it. He was like Patrick Willis before Patrick Willis. He saw the CTE stuff. He knew he was too physical of a player and it wasn't going to be worth it. He had a bright future at the microphone, and so he put that ahead of what he could have found in his athletic glory days.
You've done a really good job of evaluating players.
Yeah.
How would you scout yourself as a player?
Doesn't have the nasty, isn't mean enough, is a guy. I wouldn't.
If you were to watch yourself on tape, how would you describe yourself?
Yeah, slow.
Give me the pros. Give me the positives.
The positives are he's got a good anchor.
Locker room guy.
And Dewey's for fingers.
Solid fundamentals. Can hand fight, right? Solid shuffle, side-to-side movement, 1v1 blocking.
Shovel. Good feet?
I could win, but I wasn't exactly...
Dancing
I bear. Didn't have the speed to get out there in space and pull.
So you lacked lateral quickness?
Lateral quickness was not my strong suit. We had a play where the left guard and left tackle, for whatever reason, we were both pulling around the other side.
And you never made it?
I never got it in front of the
halfback. So you needed a scooter to get around the end,
yeah,
huh?
Absolutely. So the bend also was an issue with me. I would play a little bit high.
Did you, okay. Knees or waist? Were you a waist bender?
No, I couldn't bend the waist. That's the problem.
Or the knees.
The knees were a little bit better than the waist.
The Ben and Jerry's was the bigger issue.
But I'll tell you what, I was the conditioning wasn't an issue because that's all we did at Haggard was run. There was barely any football involved. We had a soccer coach as our football coach.
Did you feel like you had good
That's part of the reason I quit.
could you get
what the hell is this? We don't play football. We condition all the time.
He had a broadcaster as a football player. I mean, you guys were both square pegs, round holes.
Could you keep guys off your body with extensions?
Yeah, absolutely. I was a better D tackle than I was an offensive lineman, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there I could.
How'd you play the double team ball?
A real penetrator.
Oh, good luck getting me off the ball.
And are talking high school?
Problem
here?
Is, I'm not giving you. I was a true one tech.
No,
yeah, no. We're talking middle grade. School still here. Yeah. No, this is seventh and eighth. You played ball. All right.
We were talking when we had ball carrier weight limits.
Oh, so he had the green sticker or the red sticker?
Walchuk had the red sticker.
No, I told you guys, one time they threw me the ball in an Oklahoma drill, and I'm like, why the hell are you giving me the football? I was getting ready to tackle.
So, wait a minute. You questioned coaching then, is what
you're saying. You were like the bait dog they throw with a
pit
bull.
I didn't believe in our coaches whatsoever. We had a fourth down and goal for the game on the line. We are playing Renner Middle School. We had our tallest player, who was a quarterback, and our shortest player, Corey Solney, bless his little heart. They threw a fade to him. What happened? Gets picked off. They almost ran it back for a touchdown. Corey Solney had a haul ass to tackle him at midfield. Luckily, we ended up tying, or else we'd have lost that game.
Oh, no, overtime here, huh?
Yeah, we lost so many one-possession games because our coaching staff was a bunch of schmucks. They didn't know what the hell was going on.
You think any guys are listening right now that were coaches on that team?
I love you guys. If you are.
No, there's some bad coaches.
You should have played
there.
Me more. We'd have won more. Yeah. No, I played plenty on defense. They were probably smart not to have
so you were like a half trash can full of dirt.
No, I was a full-on trash can full of dirt at that age. Yeah, absolutely. I was a one tech. I wasn't giving you any type of pass rush, though. It's like Jordan Davis.
You out of breath a lot?
He's like Mozzie
Smith.
You
get tired pretty quick?
No, I told you. I never got tired. All we did was run. Our conditioning, we didn't get tired in the fourth quarter. We're going to win the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Well, F you, we didn't win the fourth quarter. Because you guys,
we were down four scores.
Yeah.
We couldn't play.
We might not be tired, but we weren't winning.
I think I'd rather have a good team out of shape than a bad team in shape, Coach.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know? Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. Give me the talent. We'll figure it out later.
Yeah, well, I wasn't there either.
If we catch some cramps, so be it. It's an extra timeout for everybody
Let's
else.
Let's go, Mean Green.
You guys were down big to start this thing.
I'm going to try.
Wisconsin went on a run.
We got to dig up some old tape and have Broda scout it.
I don't think it exists, man. I think I burned that stuff a long time ago.
You got to get the scout's eye on middle school Waldjuk.
My final question to you, though. Yeah. Were you sitting in the locker room when it was all over and know that it just wasn't, you weren't going to be able to play anymore? Did you know, or did you want to keep playing?
No, I didn't know. I mean, I thought about continuing to play, but I just didn't. I knew then. I'm like, this
you feel like the coach has screwed you around.
Yeah, I'm not gonna make this into anything serious. I don't have that athletic ability. My gene pool is not there in terms of not playing in college. I'm not making
you're South
pro.
African. You got some rugby in you though, huh? Yeah.
I should have probably played more
or
rugby.
Cricket.
Yeah. No, not cricket. But I probably should have played more rugby.
I thought the Waldjuks were known for their flexibility
in the bedroom.
The versatility of the bedroom. Now, the Waldjuk RAS score would light up big blinking reds. There's no elites and greens.
No. The athlete, but I killed the Wunderlich. Yeah, not.
Absolutely not. Those math questions would have thrown him off. Deion Sanders left his team as they headed off for spring break by saying, "You have a meeting Monday morning. If you're late to that meeting, there's going to be consequences. Your locker will be cleaned. It will be cleaned, and I'm not threatening you. It's just a reality." That's the way he sent off his players.
There you go.
I like that idea. Hey, just shorten to the point. You got a meeting Monday morning. Bleep and be there, bro. And I would also throw in, let's not do shoreline Oklahoma drills. If you're going to go from the mountains to a beach somewhere as a Colorado Buffalo player, let's not do the Oklahoma drill drunkenly on the sand.
I've been watching those on YouTube.
Dude, there's
some,
something,
there's
huh?
some violence there.
There is.
There's some people that are just, I mean, and the thing I've been noticing is, a lot of potential separations of shoulders because you got to get lower than the guy.
Low man wins, man.
Yeah, and there's a lot of you know, right shoulders that look like they're getting just severely damaged doing this.
You played sports back in the Oklahoma drill era. You had to survive practice to prove you could play. There was just a different mentality about what we were doing.
Bull in the ring was one of those where they would call out numbers and then you were, you know, I had to always like head on a swivel thing. I've seen guys get hit in the back. I mean, literally just take a run at somebody and just this and the padding was not good in the back like we have. Kidney shots and stuff like that.
Dudes.
There was some violence to it.
Yeah. I knew. I was practicing soccer watching the football team get ready, like in August, the month of August, maybe late July or something. We had practice at the junior high school and I was like, this is insane.
I'll tell you what was...
This was about 89.
I'll tell you what was worse than what your Bull in the Rings or Oklahoma's and all that, with a lack of water breaks.
Yeah. Especially, yeah, running for 2 hours.
Yeah, we were. I mean, oh, I know in the 80s, like, you know, we had like temperatures like in the 100, 108, 109 out there practicing full pads and stuff. Mm-hmm. The lack of water breaks, it wasn't the brutality of the drills. It was just how they didn't know. They thought drinking water would make you cramp up and would make you worse. What a barbaric way of thinking things.
Yeah, you know? How could humans have been on Earth for this long and not understand better than that?
I said this before. We had a player, when I was at LSU, we had a player die at Auburn. And at that point in 1983, they realized they couldn't treat, they had to give you water breaks.
Yeah.
They had to.
I mean, well, a lot of coaches went on for another 20 years until Corey Stringer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That did not kill it out in 83.
Yeah. But I just know that from that point on, it was like, it became like, okay, we got to take breaks.
Got to at least have one of these things to practice.
I tell you what, if you're out there and you're coaching these kids, whether it's soccer, any sport, especially in the Texas heat and humidity, and you're not giving your kids water break, you shouldn't be coaching.
No.
You shouldn't. You got to plan these things for your
safety's
kids.
Safety's number one.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And pay the teachers while you're at it, huh, Brownis?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Pay the
teachers. And the kids. And the kids. If you need talent, you pay them kids, yeah. Right? Don't tell anybody, though. You don't want to mess with their eligibility.
Are you close to buying any kids yet?
I would. I'll be honest with you.
You coached that upper select team you won 3-0 with.
Yeah.
If you had that upper select team money, would you go and use it to buy
would
players?
Would you poach them? I would absolutely buy players.
Would you make the parents like an extra $50 each to buy kids?
Yes. Yeah.
I like your plan.
We're within range still.
I liked your plan. Let's go buy a championship.
I like this.
Yeah, you know, talent's the name of the game. It really is. And you know, people have been doing that in Texas for decades. Yeah. Why should I not participate in it? If I had an opportunity to get a special player, take my kids on the ride of their life, thanks to a transformative player.
Yeah.
That's what we're in here for.
Yeah.
Trophies, fun. Going on out-of-town tournaments and kicking everybody's ass and coming home with a big trophy. That's what it's all about.
I'm training my 3-year-old right now so Dawson will money whip her here in a few years. Coming on the soccer team.
I'm probably looking more at the 2-year-old, to be honest with you.
Okay, that's no problem. Yeah. 2-year-old.
I like those hips.
Poison.
Yeah.
Yeah, showing a lot of talent.
That 2-year-old, I'll tell you what, she's got there's something in there. There's maybe some of that Haley.
We'll get you some groceries, Haley, to you follow.
Yeah,
you know, what do you need?
Give me some groceries,
tank
bro.
Tank of gas?
I got the bananas covered. Yeah, if you
something
get
other
else.
Than bananas, please.
How about this for a quote? Shout out to the Houston Chronicle for this one. Their head football coach for the Houston Cougs. You know who that is?
It's our guy. He's from West Virginia.
Dana Holgerson.
Old Dana. Yeah. They asked him about a hot seat. Hey, coach, what do you think about the hot seat? What do you think about the hot seat? Quote, we won 20 games in 2 years. We won bowl games in back-to-back years. I got 5 years of my contract with a bleeping impossible buyout. There ain't no bleeping chance I'm on a hot seat right now. There just ain't no chance. I love that. He's right, dude. Holy smokes. The buyout clause for Holgerson, 100% of his total base salary and non-salary compensation through 2025, plus 60% of the final two seasons. He's going to make over $4 million every one of those seasons. So he's gosh darn right.
Never feel sorry for a head coach in major college sports or professional sports.
I mean, they
feel
earn
bad
it if
for the
good.
Assistants. Feel bad for those guys.
I mean, Alabama was down. USC is down. Michigan's down. Why? They were unable to continue having the great coaches. Ohio State's not quite the same. They're good.
That guy's on a little bit. I'd say after two losses to Michigan, I'd say that guy's on a little bit of a hot seat. You better not lose to Michigan the third time.
Day,
if you're that guy.
Ryan Day.
He's got a great head of hair. But this Holgerson, I actually thought Holgerson was the broadest inspiration for all
those
years.
Oh, he does.
Where
he wears
got
a
not
visor.
Much to work with, but in the back it's flowing.
He's got a visor that is intense.
He looks like he could use a shower anytime I see him.
Yeah, and he's got all that money, and he still neglects to fix that hairline.
He'll have a good time with you, too. He's kind of like the guy you want to saddle up with at the bar.
Seems like a cool dude.
He seems like the guy that's like doing mouthwash, but it's actually Jaeger.
Yeah, he's like leaving the tab open for everybody to buy drinks.
On the rare occasion he decides to brush his teeth, he's watching it out with Jaeger.
What are you talking about
sure.
over there?
I'm talking about Dana Holgerson.
I think you are, but what else? You're talking about him not brushing his teeth?
No, I just thought he's a, like, Walchuk made the point that, like, he looks like a guy.
He does,
that,
though.
Like, could always, at any moment, you could say, yes, right now,
he's the
more
Jimmy,
likely than not, he could use a shower.
He's the Jimmy Buffett of head coaches, is who he is.
Oh, Buffett's a.
Yeah, Buffett's a. Yeah, no bathe. Yeah, no
shower. I'll just jump in the shower like McConaughey.
I jump in the sea.
Or in the pool.
Yeah.
Can you guys believe that old King Griffey Jr. is going to be the fourth highest paid player on the Reds this season?
Is he making $3.5 mil?
Oh, he's got that Bonilla mailbox money coming in.
Dude, this is crazy. I was not expecting to see that because we talked about some terrible baseball contracts for this particular season. We didn't mention King Griffey Jr., but $3.6 million they owe him. He will be the fourth highest paid player on their team this year. And he hasn't played for them since the year 2008, which is pretty incredible.
I'd say they got a deal on him.
is that what you think?
Right now, they got a deal.
Mike Moustakas is still being owed $22 million by them.
Well, Moustakas has definitely been out of the league for a little bit less time, but that's just shocking.
But $22 million, that's
are you saying the Reds aren't going to be any good?
I think that's
they're not good.
It's going to be a
we
fair
can ask
assumption.
Your buddy Tim Collins, he loves.
Now, I was blown away by this. I told Walchuk this on Sunday's BetQL show, but the San Diego Aztecs are obviously in the Final Four. Would you guys
that's amazing.
Is there any chance in hell you could tell me who the all-time leader for the basketball team in assists are for the San Diego State Aztec basketball team?
Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn. Mm-hmm. How the hell did you pull that out of your dome?
Because I am a sports expert.
Wow, bro. Or were you just locked in on our Bet Nation BetQL program on Sunday?
I was listening.
Dude, I can't. But Tony Gwynn is the all-time leader in assists for the San Diego State basketball team. That was shocking to me.
Quite a player there, that Tony Gwynn.
I know, he is.
An 80s legend.
I put in a request to try to get him on the show because he's an Odyssey insider. The problem is Odyssey never replies back.
You're talking about Junior, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's hard to book these Odyssey insiders when they don't reply.
Yeah, we're talking a senior here, but Junior's quite an athlete as well. Senior might have like a top 10 all-time giant sports butt, you know, if you're thinking the fielders. Prince and Cecil, obviously, maybe some others, but
Derek Kennard.
Tony Gwynn was a massively wide guy, especially by the end of his career.
Built like a brick bleep house,
I bet those baseball pants were like size 54.
Oh, yeah. What do you think the waist was?
54.
Yeah, 54.
Yeah, I'm getting a good back shot here, and I'm telling you,
giant dude.
There's a part of me that feels like this has to be Photoshop. There's no way this dude's donk was that big.
Yeah.
Holy
and he was still
smokes,
raking, bro.
Yeah, look at that right there.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Oh, that was young Gwynn. Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Maybe 3 feet side to side if you brought out a yardstick.
Couple axe handles.
Was not skipping glute day.
No. Nope.
Shouts out.
Yep.
That's an athletic frame.
What a beast.
We got a little bit of a C note for you. Cowboys news of the evening and why Mike McCarthy's renovation of the offense might take some time. We're going to be live at Rally House in Arlington tomorrow, and we'd love to see you. I know you're coming by to pick up some gear, maybe some Rangers gear, get you set for opening day. Rally House in Arlington tomorrow. And we're back right here. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. I tell you what, though, Twin Peaks is the place to be if you're looking for a good spot to cut out and go watch some sports. Twin Peaks, known for their eats, drinks, and their scenic views. They have the best kitchen in sports and something on that menu to satisfy any fan's appetite. I love Twin Peaks. I'm always bragging about them. And, you know, with the basketball games going on right now, all the tournaments, Twin Peaks, it can be a home away from home for you. Now, they got a special cigar bar at Twin Peaks Addison. If you step into the cigar bar, you know, you will find just an absolute treasure trove for yourself if you're a cigar guy. Where else can you find the place you can indulge in hand-rolled cigars, rare bottle selections, TVs from every angle, and the beautiful Twin Peaks girl? It's Dallas North Tollway and Beltline Road over there at Twin Peaks in Addison. You know, we have 10 locations now in North Texas. Now that they've opened up that Texas Motor Speedway store right next to Bucky's up there in Northlake, we do have 10 of them. And my home, Twin Peaks, is off of town east there, the 635 location in Mesquite. But there's one near everybody now at Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Here we go. It is the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan, home of the Cowboys. Have a little C-note for you. David Moore just wrote a really interesting article in the morning news we're going to start with. Tomorrow we're going to be at Rally House in Arlington. Join us 2 to 7. Get some Rangers gear. Maybe you're fired up about the Cowboys and the moves they've made. Get you some Cowboys gear. Stars getting ready for the playoffs. Brian?
Yeah, get you some LSU. I got my LSU gear from Rally House. But yeah. LSU, if you're a fan, you're in town, you need some gear for the basketball this weekend, go for it.
Great North Texas section as well.
They got a lot of LSU stuff at the Rally House.
Go Mean Green.
Va-Tech Friday night. Yeah, that's right. UNT is in action right now, taking on Wisconsin in the NIT semifinal halfway through the first. They are they're trailing 21-16, still very much in that thing. Okay.
They're connected.
D-up.
Headline, Mike McCarthy's renovation of Cowboys offense is a project that will take time. David Moore, Morning News, this renovation he's calling it. This is the first time that, I don't know, I've saw that word being used with it. And I don't know, they talk about 15, 20% different, then they're like 30, 35% different. How significant is this? Pardon me.
Wow.
That's a big one right there.
Yeah,
big
one. That's the Diet
you
Coke.
Up. Guzzle a Diet Coke. Now, we got an extension off the quote that we've been using from earlier. More context to what he meant. Football's an easy game. If you want your guys to play fast, give them less responsibility. We talked about that last hour. The rest of that quote, that's where the secret sauce is in putting together a good offensive system. The ability to be multiple, to have the variations to protect your core concepts, to make sure the ball is distributed to your perimeter players, to make sure you're giving guys the opportunity to fit their skill set is exactly what he meant by that. And he did talk about Dak Prescott and making it easier for the quarterback to get the ball in those players' hands as quickly as possible.
You think that you ever listen when McCarthy talks, he just throws a bunch of jargon at you? The kind of like, you know,
do something with this.
He's trying to be as vague as possible.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So yeah, like, his vagueness is just throw a bunch of buzzwords and jargon at you. And then you're like, what's he? He sounds like he's talking about something really important, but he's really not.
But in real, he's not saying anything.
No, he's just kind of, but that's what coaches do.
Yeah.
They give you a lot of jargon and all these things. And the next thing you know, it's like, what did he just say?
You just make a word salad that's like vaguely answering the question. Yeah. That's the perfect way to do it and not give away any details. And it's annoying. But I do think underneath that is some really interesting stuff. Like, will Dak be able to handle this change in the approach? And what, to me, I've been asking for this probably for 3 or 4 years. Let's get the ball out of his hands quickly and get it to players on the run. And last year, I think the need for that really became obvious as the longer the plays took and the more he stayed in the pocket, the less clarity he had down the field. So I have a high degree of confidence. Wolchuk's, he's dug in here.
Well, they're not boxing out. I mean, I can't tell you how many offensive rebounds Wisconsin's getting. They're kicking it out, and they've hit two crazy three balls.
So, more than Dak, though, is a lot of talk here about the protection. The story
That's
reads
my
here.
Question. That
it's a
is
very
my question.
Fluid situation. We haven't locked in yet exactly what we're going to do.
Yeah.
He said everyone is comfortable with how the run game will look. There's still some ideas to clean up when it comes to protection. Conversations were well underway on the passing concepts when Mike McCarthy left Sunday to attend the league meetings for the first time in 5 years. Now it's time to start trimming all that down. And when the process is near the end, McCarthy, Schottenheimer, and Prescott are all going to meet. That sounds pretty dang complicated. Like, they're remaking what the protections are going to look like. That could really invite disaster. with an offensive line that was already shaky at times last year. This might be a transitional year, Brian. You've been warning me about that, not to get too confident in how things will be executed in apparently year one of this new system they're renovating.
You know what? As critical as I was of Joe Philbin, he actually did a really nice job with these guys when it came to the young guys and having to play. And I do worry about a little bit. If you're going to vamp everything. And, you know, young guys are young guys. They'll learn. They'll do whatever they have to do. But we saw what happened when a new line coach came in and Paul Alexander, and he got fired halfway through the season. My biggest concern for the Cowboys this year is not the play caller. It's what they're going to have to do on the offensive line. Yeah. And what they're going to, and the offensive line coach. I don't think this is going to be as clean and smooth of a transition. And, you know, there's people on Mike, I think there's people on the staff, Bobby and Bobby Belt, Todd Archer, guys like that who cover this team will tell you that maybe that Linda Wells might be the best offensive line coach on this staff who coaches the tight ends.
They got three of them, don't they?
Yeah, Jeff Blatsko goes, and now he goes from offensive line to coaching running backs. Hmm. You know, and then you bring in a guy from the outside who wasn't even coaching.
So you want all your position groups to see things from the offensive line perspective?
You know what? One of the best play callers in the league is a guy named Andy Reid. And Andy, when I was in Green Bay, he started off as the tackles tight ends guy. Then he became the quarterback coach, and he was able to marry the blocking schemes with the routes down the field. So you never got caught short. It was like sometimes these coaches, I remember Steve Spurrier telling his offensive line coach at the time, it's like, coach, we can't throw that pass with a 7-step drop. He goes, I don't care. Just block it. Just block it. I don't care. Yeah. I don't want to hear that. We can't. And, you know, you get guys that are like, that's probably why they're trying to revamp a lot of the things that they're doing. If it's going to turn into a quick game, well, we'll see. We'll see how it plays. That's my biggest concern going into this season, though.
It's offensive line coach. It's a totally fair concern. I do remember Aaron Rodgers, once again, when discussing the Mike McCarthy, the West Coast offense, and things that he liked so much about it, was everything was pretty black and white, and there was no motion. Aaron Rodgers is an anti-motion guy because he wants everything stagnant, and it makes everything from a offensive line protections standpoint much easier. So, like, Aaron Rodgers has lamented moving into a LaFleur system that involves a little bit more of the motion, and it's not the West Coast, because it throws him off from a protection standpoint. Whereas in the McCarthy West Coast stuff, that was a little bit more. But that would mean to me that if that's the case, then you're not getting a lot of the motion, and that's some of the stuff that New Age football people, like most of us here, we want them to do that, but maybe that's something they won't do. But Roger said that helps when it comes to setting the protections.
Well, Bobby's report when he came back from the combine, people he talked with said that they were going to focus on a lot of the pre-snap stuff to trick up a defense. But once the ball is snapped, everything would be simplified. So I'm hoping they still do a lot of the pre-snap motion. Hopefully we see more of that. But Rodgers is also a guy that didn't like playing under center. And LaFleur's like, dude, we've got to put you under center right now. And you saw last year, as soon as they made that move, their offense started playing a little bit better. So Rodgers has been known to have some pushback with coaches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it got worse the longer he was there and the more comfortable he got pushing back on McCarthy. Like, their best success was early on when Mike was dictating things. And then when Mike left, Aaron actually ended up agreeing to a lot of the stuff with LaFleur. So this is fascinating. It is definitely a more significant change. Like, every month we've gone throughout this offseason, it's become apparent that they're doing more than they initially let on when they gave you that number of 15%. And it could really go either way on this. I think you kind of have to hold your breath as a fan and hope for the best. But I do trust Mike McCarthy because his experience and his history as a quarterback guru, I think he's going to do a better job of seeing the game through Dak's eyes and understanding from multiple perspectives. Not just Kellen Moore, the former player who was the quarterback. Mike McCarthy has seen this game at the NFL level through multiple players' eyes and studied it very, very closely. I think he's going to put Dak ultimately in a position to succeed better than Kellen, but we might have some significant growing pains, I think, is the takeaway on this story. Now, up next is eliminating the picks. After working out at the Star with the team's other captains, Dak went upstairs to meet with Mike and Scott Tolzien. The three watched tape of every pick the Cowboys quarterback threw last season to discuss what he saw, what went into his decision-making and play design. Then they did the 2021 season. Then back to Mike McCarthy's first season with the club. And 4 hours later, Prescott went home, just talking it through. It's healthy, said Mike McCarthy. Now, these days are spent getting everyone on the same page before the pages appear in the playbook. My goal is for Dak to play 20 games next year. If he plays 20, obviously we'll be right back to where we want to be. But don't expect an extreme makeover from what you've seen. I think how we play this year will be similar to how we played last year, said McCarthy, but protection is where the change will be. We definitely want to be better in the area of protection. That's something we spent a ton of time on early in the process, and anytime you can protect your quarterback better, it's helpful. It'll be about protecting him better. I think getting the ball out quicker and having better protection schemes is great, Brian. How could you be confident you're going to do this without different players? Like, you lose Connor McGovern, Steele's coming back from injury. Can changing the protection scheme make you a significantly better offensive line group? You would know. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily. The thing that I worry about the most, like I said, is all of a sudden you'd start to talk about terminology, and then you get a coach that gets in there and starts to change how you play technique-wise. So all of a sudden, there's certain calls, there's certain protections, there's certain abilities, the combination blocks, there, you know, how they marry this stuff, what we were talking about with the running backs and all that. If you get to a point where early in the season you see them struggling with protection, and then guys revert back to things, you know, it turns into it's like survival. Like, okay, I mentioned Paul Alexander, high, low hands and stuff like that. The guys tried that, and they're like,
Didn't work. Can't
block that way.
No.
So all of a sudden you get guys that are like, he's trying to teach this. They're wasting practice time doing it. That's the thing that I always worry about with new line coaches, is that what are you teaching and what are the players picking up on? Are they trying it in the games? But if you get to a situation where, you know, when Tyron Smith and Zach Martin and these guys have scoop blocked, reach blocked, done these, the steps and all that, and they've done it for so many years, then all of a sudden the guy switches that all out and they're trying to do it. That's the thing that worries me. How much are you going to change what these guys are doing scheme-wise as far as their techniques and stuff like that? If it's a big overhaul, that's a dangerous way to operate, in my opinion.
You are hoping for organic growth from Tyler Smith, though, clearly, right? You need him to get better. Very good last year.
Yeah, even though that Joe Philbin didn't want him, he did get better.
He did.
Terrence Steele, he got better.
Yeah,
he developed young guys, that's for sure.
He did. And maybe
and the Biotis got better.
Yeah, and maybe the next young guy to develop will be, Let's Go or somebody like that. But now that's gone, and these guys are going to have to go. The last thing you want to do is have to go back to square one with your offensive
line.
So
you think moving on from Philbin was just a money thing?
I think it was one of those things where I think Mike and Jerry got into a situation where they were like, I don't want to pay this guy. I don't want to pay this guy $2 million a year to coach the offensive line. I'm already paying my defensive coordinator like $5 million.
Yeah.
Even though that Jerry, there's no.
It was like a $20 million coaching staff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And now Jerry's looking at this, and so he wants to get rid of Philbin. And what does Mike McCarthy do? Well, I really don't want, I don't think George Edwards needs to be here. You know, okay, well then, what does this Rob Davis do? Well, he's an assistant. Well, he doesn't coach. Why am I paying him $350,000 a year? Well, you know what, there, Jerry, I really never liked Leon Lett all that much. You know, that's what looks like we got into a little bit here.
Yeah.
You know, the last thing I think I would be doing would be changing the offensive line coach, especially when you've had some success with the group.
Don't you guys feel like if Tyron Smith gets a full offseason and stays healthy, he'll be much better at protecting Dak?
That's not an if.
He'll be better than Terrence Steele at protecting.
I thought he was going to be better at right tackle than Terrence Steele.
Yeah, but he didn't have much time to practice it. You know, he's coming off an injury. I'm rehabbing an injury. Now you're throwing me out at right tackle. If healthy, and that is a big if, you're right. Yeah. I know what you said on that one now. But if he is healthy, he's going to be way better at keeping Dak clean than Terrence Steele. He's only 34 years old.
He's much better as a pass blocker than he is a run blocker. But there was a clear disconnect between him and Zach Martin being connected in the way they run.
Might have been one of the most dominant run-blocking combos in all of the NFL together. Yeah. It was Steele and Martin, and you saw how you struggled to run the football consistently with Steele out of the lineup. I do get maybe some optimism with Tyron, but you don't know the health, right? You don't know how many games he's going to play. Inevitably, he will get hurt. But he did start as a right tackle, was really good as a rookie with the Cowboys, played right tackle at USC. He's got that background, but that was a long freaking time ago. So you're putting a lot of hope in, all right, let's get an offseason, let's get some more work in with Zach Martin. I don't know why you would want to disrupt the progress of a good thing that you had there with Steele and Martin.
I wonder, this is what I wonder now. I wonder if that Joe Philbin absolutely loved Terrence Steele at right tackle. And I wonder if Mike Solari is like, this guy can't play.
He loses sponsor.
Yeah, you want to protect back with this guy?
Yeah. All of a sudden you lose the sponsor. And now you got coaches going in there and convincing, this guy can't play.
Yeah.
You know, why would you, you know, and now we're getting this whole thing. Even though they tendered him $4 million, I wonder if, you know, if all of a sudden, like we're talking, he just said the word sponsor. You know, Joe Philbin was, he couldn't say enough nice things about, and I wonder if
that makes sense.
I wonder if that's changed in the building.
Well, gentlemen, I do realize that we have some nice things to say with the Get Right here coming up. We're going to crosstalk with them in just a second, but I look up at the clock and I don't give a you know what. It's time for 60 seconds on soccer because, ladies and gentlemen, we have a Ricardo Pepi sighting. The former FC Dallas star went to Europe 2 years ago, fell off the map.
Carried him to a victory,
went from,
huh?
Went from rising hero to off the World Cup roster. Brilliant chip last night, USA over El Salvador in the CONCACAF Nations Cup. He had two goals Friday versus Grenada. Incredible positioning and composure in front of goal is what you get with Pepi, and he knows his position well. The bigger story right now, though, England competing for a 21-year-old striker who has 18 goals this season with the USA. This guy was born in New York, raised in England. Fulleran Balogun, okay? Arsenal's wanting to sign him. He can pick England or the USA. And if he does come to the United States, he would probably be the top pick for striker. But now here comes Ricardo Pepi throwing in his name for the number 9 role once again here for Team USA Soccer. There you go. That's 60 on soccer. We're at Rally House in Arlington tomorrow. If you'd love to join us, we would love to see you. And it's time to crosstalk with the Get Right next here on The Fan. All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having an outstanding day. Let's make tomorrow a big one. Get to Rally House tomorrow in Arlington, 2 to 7. Get you some gear. What am I looking at here with Theo Pinson's Twitter account here? I saw you sent this to me, Wolchuk, as the Get Right guys are in studio with us. What do we got going on?
Yeah, Theo Pinson went ahead and quote tweeted. The MFFL on Twitter went ahead and pulled one of the segments from KNC yesterday where Mike's going off on the Mavericks, of course. And Theo Pinson has since quote tweeted it and said, coming from a guy who just said Magoo, y'all let me know if you're really listening to what he said. And he put the crying laughing emojis. But he doesn't know that that's Mike's bit where he calls JaVale McGee JaVale Magoo.
Everyone's dying.
Okay. So Mike was going off on the Mavs and blaming, and he called JaVale McGee Magoo, and Theo Pinson picked it up. You know, frustrations are high with the Mavs right now. I think maybe some guys get rabbit ears, and it sucks when the whole world is saying that you guys can't play and you've fallen apart. It really does, but...
That's hilarious that Theo Pinson thinks Mike's being serious about the Magoo thing. That's
phenomenal. How could you not know his name? It's on the back of his jersey.
You're calling him Magoo? His name's McGee. What a schmuck.
The contents of it was Mike going in on the idea that players maybe don't want to play with Luka and players on the Mavericks. Like, apparently Mike's heard that THJ has stood up in meetings and kind of called out Luka for some things. Yeah. And he addressed a couple other players on the team. And Theo Pinson is... quite literally a glorified cheerleader of the team. So if he sees somebody doing some infighting accusations, I'm sure he's going to stand up with the pom-poms and say, settle down.
He's the Mickey Spagnola of the Mavs bench. Yeah. I think that's exactly what that is with Theo Pinson. But, you know, quality, engaging content, that's what Mike Bassick's sports passion is going to do. Did the dub last night give you any hope for what we might see in the remaining six games of this season, guys?
So like the idea, if they get to play some G League team, sure.
There you go, dude. That's the recipe.
Yeah, that's right. Look, you might need to give Rick Carlisle a little bit of his plaudits here for getting the Mavs another win, even as he is the coach of the Indiana Pacers. Right?
Or like the commissioner's office.
Yeah. That's also true for making sure Luka played that game without... Did we get a reason for the suspension being rescinded, by the way?
I never saw one.
Okay. I think the NBA just wanted to see more Luka. And honestly, I didn't want Luka to play, but because I like the idea of getting that top 10 pick right now. Mm. I can understand both sides, but the fact that we got to witness that pass...
Yeah, I enjoyed
Thank
that
Thank you, NBA.
No, it's going to be tough sledding, man. This is a team that... was supposed to be like so offensively great that it was gonna the defense wouldn't matter, and you not scoring enough for that to like that equation to work out. So it's, I mean, it's still not at the place that it should be. There's clearly issues, and we have lots of things to talk about.
Yeah, I think the defense is so bad it made everybody give up. They're like, well, what's the point in playing for each other and playing hard? We're just going to give up layups for about 70% of the game. You know, so I think fatal roster construction is ultimately going to be the legacy. And now I just hope they have a plan to roll out of this. I hope, like, step one and two have kind of been executed with letting Brunson go and making this trade for Kyrie. And we're, like, clearing space for a big plan led by Nico and Jason Kidd coming up this summer. But I feel like if they did, we'd have heard about that by now. I mean, we're hearing about THJ dressing down Luka Doncic, but we can't hear about some sort of a big master plan that's going to make this all fall into place. I think it might be like a first, you know, go-through GM who doesn't have like the authority or the skins on the wall to be like, hold on now, we need a plan. What are we doing? We're bringing in McGee and we're bringing in Kyrie Irving. And, you know, this team has been just like, you know, waking up and deciding, oh, Porzingis is available, let's do this. Oh, Kyrie Irving is available, let's do this. I need some sort of a sign that they know what kind of a roster they want to construct.
Yeah, you're right about that. You talk to folks over there. I brought it up earlier. They said this is step two, but we need to see step three and step four here before long. I mean, maybe it's something that when we do see it, we're like, oh, okay, now we understand it. But they'll tell you, like, no, this is only step two of this plan. And I'm like, okay, we'll see. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that, but man, it's been tough to watch. I mean, I feel like we're all invested in that thing every night.
Yeah.
You know, to watch it kind of fall apart the way it has.
Yeah, and optimism is at an all-time low. I mean, I don't think at any time in Luka's career, like, fan sentiment has been this low. Gentlemen, what do you have cooking for the show this evening?
We've got a star-studded edition of the Get Right. Clarence Hill Jr. From the winter meetings, the league meetings in Arizona at 7:20. We'll have Kyle Yeomans at 9:20, and then we will have Nick Angstad of Locked On Mavs at 8:20.
I've heard you guys interview him before. He does a really good job.
Nick's great.
Yeah, he does a really good job. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember when we had him on at one point, and Walchuk called his show the Hooked on Mavs.
I think I called it something like that. Yeah,
you're really a big fan of Hooked on Phonics when you were here.
I loved Hooked on Phonics.
Mm-hmm.
We had a fun back and forth about it. It was good.
I'm sure it was.
You sure about that?
It was the very first interaction we ever had with him on the show. Here's Nick Angstad from Hooked on Mavs, and Nick was like,
"It's locked,
bro,
on Mavs,
it's locked, dog."
Although I will say, like, Nick is a fairly, like, he has a good time, so I imagine that it was.
Plus, he probably wanted you to put some respect on the number one, you know, Mavericks podcast.
Like, well, at that time, like, it just started. I don't know if they were number one yet.
Wow,
but,
this is what you want to do.
Yeah.
All right,
we're gonna rekindle this. We had fun with it,
and he did a great job.
Fun was had.
Yeah, just like Nick Eatman yesterday when I thought he was Michael Gelkin.
These things happen.
Oh, word? Oh, wow.
I thought Michael Gelkin was Nick Eatman.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
It was unfortunate.
When you haven't been able to speak English on the radio, it happens to us.
Thanks so much to Joey Erickson. Two days in a row, filling in for Lucius Alexander. Hell of a job.
Thank you.
We'll have Alec Medford in for Lucius tomorrow. Thanks to Carter Freeman coordinating your video. And we'll Chuck and Chia follow and brought us. Get Right's coming up next. With Reggie and KG, you're going to love it. The sports will be flowing over the next 4 hours. And until tomorrow at 2, live from Rally House in Barlington. Let's fellowship. You're going home with the nation.
Yeah. At ease.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today.
Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.